everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of Bundle of Oi.
Hello.
I'm your co-host, Doug.
I'm Amy.
And we're here to talk some more about what it's like to be parents in week 8 of this podcast.
Yes. So thank you for listening. What have we got on the agenda today, Doug?
I've got a few things. One, this is a an anniversary month. So Celeste is officially 17 months now.
Oh, okay.
And that means we're going to talk about some 17-month milestones and things from our growing child resource, which we talked about before. But this is as close to a manual as you can get for raising a kid. And I think it's pretty solid in terms of what to expect and approaches for how to deal with kids and different types of kids too.
I have an interjection before we jump into the milestone month.
Oh, I'm sorry, we were getting a bullet interjection here.
No, yes. I just thought of something to ask you because you were asking how old she is or telling them how many months she is. And I'm thinking, when do we stop doing that? I mean, are we going to be like the people who say, oh, my daughter's 252 months old. How old's your daughter?
Yeah.
I wonder what the appropriate age is to stop that.
Probably 2, I would think.
I mean, I'm kind of on the line already. I've noticed myself saying
she's a
year and a half, even though I think she's still a month off from that. If my math serves me correctly.
I think social etiquette allows you to get up to 23 months and then you have a 2-year-old.
Here's what I think it is. I think that if you're talking to other parents, it's okay to continue using months.
Ah.
If some stranger stops you in the store, just say a month and a half or a year and a half.
Right.
Because it's like, if someone told me that their kid was like 32 months, I'd be like, okay, that's 24 months.
It doesn't mean
years,
anything.
And then, yeah, so it's easier for parents who have young ones to get how old that is.
Because they're mapping their kid onto these months too.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense. And you're right. Like, yeah, with other parents, she is 17 months. For everyone else, she's a year and a half.
Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think it gets to a point where it's starting to get obnoxious.
Yeah,
like,
well,
under year one, it's okay. We get it. She's 10 months or whatever it is. But now it's like, come on, just say a year and a half.
Yeah, no, it's like when you say, well, my kid's 13 months to a non-parent, that's essentially code for, I've posted 4 million pictures of this kid on Facebook, and this is all I'm going to talk to you about for the next hour and a half. It's just all my kid.
I mean, we're just so consumed by it, we don't even realize it. Because I could be like, oh, my daughter's 16 months old, 7 days, and 4 hours.
Yeah, I might as well have like a t-shirt that just says, ask me about how cute my kid is. Because
photo albums in your purse, just ready to show out. Like, that's what people at work like say, oh, how's your baby doing? And I'm like,
well, funny, you should ask.
here's an album worth of pictures just from today.
Yeah. And stop me when this gets annoying. Or don't, because I'm going to barrel through anyway.
I've stopped myself from, like, doing that at this point, because I realize that that is, like, the only thing I talk about. And
yeah,
it's the only thing I'm consumed by.
I have to get down to, like, oh, she's doing great.
That's good enough. I mean, they don't really want to know, like, the little bitty details. Unless something cute and funny has happened, I think just leave it at, she's doing wonderful. She just started talking. She learned how to say onion.
Yeah, you could probably cap it at that point, or else people will lose
people
their minds.
People just don't really care.
No, and for good reason. It's very outside.
They're obsessed with their own child.
They're the main character in their own life. Yes. So that's interesting to them.
Just because we're obsessed with her doesn't mean anyone outside of like her grandparents and her aunts. And
whoever's listening to this wonderful podcast.
Not even you, maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, yeah. The goal is to talk about parenting in general, of course, and not just her. But she's the only example we've got right now living in the house.
Yes.
So we're stuck with her to a small degree. Yeah. So.
Anyways, back to our milestone month. What have you got for us?
Well, before we even get to the milestone stuff,
I just want another interjection.
Behold the interjections. She has developed this new habit. I didn't see anything related to it in the book O Milestones here.
Okay.
Which is her love of sitting on things.
Yes. And namely porches and
shelves at stores.
Shelves at Target. And us.
But, like, she will walk up to something. Well, actually, she'll often back into the thing.
Yeah, it's more likely backing into it.
Yeah. I think she's just thrilled with her ability to just plant her keister on stuff. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's like, It was as if she learned how to do this recently.
I think she hasn't. Likes the reaction that she gets from it. That's a little bit of it, because I'm always like very much
delighted,
enthused by it, and I show it. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much enthused by everything she does. She could like smear poop on me, and I'd be like, "Oh my god, that's amazing!"
She says now,
but don't do it, Celeste. Please don't do it.
Yeah. Like, we were upstairs just before we started recording, and we were watching Sesame Street in bed with her, and she just kept, like, standing up, sit down, stand up, sit down, on my arm, just, like, over and over and over again.
Loved it.
I mean, it didn't hurt or anything, but sometimes when she, like, clonked down, she'd kind of hit my shoulder or my head a bit with her torso as she did it. But it was just fun. Like, she loves the active sitting so much, like, going on the sitting ride.
I know. She was doing it at Target yesterday. She was just walking down the aisles, and every once in a while she'd say, "Oh, this seems like a good spot to sit, and I'm going to sit." And then she'd go, "Mama, mama," and she'd want me to sit next to her.
Sorry.
Which is very cute, and sometimes I can do and sometimes I can't. Somehow it's not as cute when I sit on shelves at Target.
No, but she invites you to do it.
She does. Doug is walking away now. Doug has left the podcast. This is a podcast first.
I'm just trying not to cough in everyone's ear.
Oh. Radio silence.
Yeah.
So Doug is feeling better, and he's back on the podcast.
What's up, everybody?
Welcome back, Doug.
So, anyway, yeah, her invitations to you to sit are just so funny that she, like, looks at you and, like, you know, mama.
She after says mama. After she did dada when she sits. Or?
Yeah, she did when I was there.
Yeah. It's very cute.
It's she wants us all to sit and enjoy using our butts.
It's cute because she can kind of crouch a lot easier than I can. Like, for her, she just has to lean back a tiny bit and her butt hits the seat. For me, it's like a big, I can't back up quite as much as she can.
Yeah. Well, we do take up a lot more room than she does. She can easily, you know, fit herself onto a shelf, you know, at a store that an adult person will never get onto.
Right. It's so cute when we go for walks, too, because she'll have to stop at every porch that we pass. And sometimes there will be people there, and I'll be like, "I'm so sorry, this is her new thing, just go with it."
Well, it's like, you know, when you walk a dog, and the dog wants to smell everything along the way, now she just wants, she's doing the same sampling, but instead of using her nose, it's her butt. Like, she just wants to sit on it and see what it's like.
I guess so. I don't know where that comes from.
I don't know
it's
either.
It's just exciting for her, and it's a cute new thing that she's doing. I bet she'll be on to the next thing shortly.
Hopefully. I can't imagine.
You don't like this one?
No, nothing wrong with it. I just think, you know, when she's 12 and just walking around sitting on stuff, it's going to be a little odd.
I think she'll be over it by 12.
I'm sure. So as far as things that are on par for a 17-month-old, one thing that I noticed in the book that I was kind of interesting, and I'm curious to see if you've observed her do this, is that 17-month-old children start to become little helpers. Like, they want to follow you around and, like, get into what you're doing, and they think they're helping.
Oh, I think I've noticed that with the way that she will put away things. Like, if it were at her gym class and all the balls get thrown out, she's the first one to, like, pick up all the balls and start throwing them back into the basket. Or here, she'll take her, she's got these magnetic letters that are in a Ziploc bag, and she'll dump them all, and then she'll put them all back into the Ziploc bag.
Yeah.
So I think she recognizes that things have a home. And she's willing to help put them back in their home. Or, like, she'll get trash, and I'll say, "Can you go throw it in the trash?" And she will go put it in the trash can.
Yeah.
Which could be a problem, because she could just start to put random things into the
trash. I keep waiting for the day when she puts something in the toilet that does not belong in the toilet, and mommy or daddy has to fish it out.
Oh, I know. And I think that's why our bathroom door is closed.
Yeah, that's
but
one
we
reason.
We could also get one of those toilet lockers. Thing. Have you seen those? It's like a childproof toilet thing.
It's a clamp, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm all in favor of that. I know when I was a kid, I had a puzzle that was all 50 states, and at some point I flushed a few of them down, so they were just missing from the... They seceded from the Union.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember one of them was Utah. Sorry if we have any Utah listeners. Nothing personal. You have a lovely beehive state. I can't remember what the other ones were. I want to say Tennessee. Could have been Kentucky. Somewhere in that
it's
area.
It's interesting that it's states like in the middle of the United States that you've chosen. Like, so they've like gone on their own.
They were not coastal states. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not like they floated off to sea.
No.
They just like got sucked into like...
Like a giant sinkhole opened up when they were gone. And now there's a gap between Nevada and Colorado.
That's too bad. Did you make your own puzzle pieces? Have you ever tried to do that with a piece of paper? I think we did that when I was a kid.
I didn't, but I made pop-up books. I figured out how to make like... if I took two pieces of paper so that there was a gap between them, I could like make a tab that would go in there or something. So
that's fun.
And I had like little things that were like glued from one side to the other. So when you opened it, they were like, they'd kind of open up.
That's very fun.
So I remember making a bunch of those in like third grade or something. But unfortunately, my pop-up book craftsmanship ended there. But I think I still did that every once in a while for like, I'd make someone a card. I'd do something like that.
How cute.
Yeah, I don't know how
Maybe you should make one for the next person who has a birthday.
That's a good idea. Make them a pop-up book.
Yeah.
I made you a book once, but it wasn't a
pop-up book. It was not a pop-up book. No. It was a very nice book, though. I actually made you a book.
Oh, that's right. You did that, too.
We did the same year, didn't
we? We both made each other books, just very different kinds of books. Mine was like a children's book.
Telling the story of our relationship.
Yeah, right? How we had met. Up to that point, I think we had not... gotten married yet. We were engaged because I'd already drawn in the book was the wedding, a picture of it with our colors, and then the next page was the one for our honeymoon and it was Ireland. We'd already picked where we were going. Okay, so it was close to the wedding when I did that.
Yeah.
And your book was full of pictures of you. And I'll leave it at that.
That sounds so egotistical.
No, they were pictures that I enjoyed looking at.
So, hi, Mom.
Yeah. So that was a very nice gesture. And so that's a good gift idea. If you want to give someone a creative gift, you can make them a book. And then there are online outlets where they'll print it up for you in a nice binding and everything.
Yeah, I mean, if it's your paper anniversary, that's probably a good gift idea.
That's true. I don't know which one is the paper.
Two?
I think, we already passed paper anniversary. I can't remember. Oh, first. No, it was the first one.
First.
That's when I made you that. What made you? I ordered you that pirate treasure map.
I got our song lyrics in a tree over there.
Right.
On our wall.
So
go us.
We're cute and crafty. But the little helper things. Does this go with her need to like take apart the cupboards, or is that just things in the cupboards are fun to play with?
I think
they're
just interesting.
Okay.
Maybe she thinks she's helping.
Maybe. I haven't seen her do much other than the putting things away yet. And it doesn't necessarily... When they say little helper in the book, they don't mean like necessarily actually being helpful. They just mean they are doing things that they think are helpful. Or they're following you around. They're touching things that
you touch. I have read that it's good now that she's at this age to start incorporating her into those kinds of things. So
yeah, that was the next thing I was getting to.
Bringing her into the kitchen and having her like sit on the counter and help you put the... cucumbers into the salad or whatever it is.
Right. They want to feel like they're a part of the action. So you don't want to discourage that. You want to, you know, they enjoy that.
She's like super like compliant. Have you noticed that? She wants to be helpful. She you're like looking at me like she's not, but she really is.
Well, then again, could you please come here? And then she runs the opposite direction.
Sometimes she does though. Or can I please, like if she picks
up trash. If you ask her for something.
Yeah. If she picks up trash or even my phone. Or here's another example. We are getting ready to go for the day. She will go and get her own shoes and then she'll go and get my shoes and bring them to me.
You taught her to fetch?
She fetches.
Well, I didn't even know. She did. Actually, you're right. She did grab my shoes this morning too. Yeah, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
She knows that she's shoes helping. Are...
She knows routine.
Yeah.
She knows that she needs to get her bag before she goes to... Or if we go out anywhere, she has to grab her diaper bag.
And she knows that, yeah, shoes have to be worn before we go
she
out.
She likes to help me go to the bathroom, too.
Explain.
If I say, Mommy, I have... Or, Mommy. No, I'm not Mommy. I am Mommy. If I say, Cece, I have to go pee-pee, she'll walk over to the bathroom door and wait for me. And then she'll sit on her little squat-a-potty that I bought. I bought her a little plastic potty. Just in case she starts to show interest, I wanted to have it in there for her. So she'll sit on hers and I'll sit on mine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. You didn't know that? I didn't know she was doing that.
Yeah. She doesn't always sit on the toilet, but she always goes to the bathroom if I say I have to go to the bathroom.
That's good because that was one of the things in there. I didn't put it on the list of things to talk about, but it does mention... not potty training so much because she's a little young for that. They do talk about like some of the signs that they're ready for that. Mm-hmm. But it was also about like just before you get to potty training, there's like potty interest.
Yes. And that you have to have that interest before they need to show interest in it, I think, before that you can.
Yeah, you can't quite impose it on them exactly. You have to kind of bring that plane in for a landing. They have right. to be kind of on the way. No, actually, the other thing I was going to talk about was they were talking about vocabulary for kids this age.
Oh, and we've talked about this a couple times. Is there new information?
Yeah, not so much about the... Yeah, we've talked about the fact that her vocabulary is large for mm-hmm. her age. But this is more about something that she does do, which is that they mispronounce words. Or, you know, they don't have the ability to...
So they, like, leave out a letter. Like, she says green, geen. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Or only, you know... Having, you know, a kind of a substitute word for things.
Okay.
Or, you know, like she'll for a multi-syllable word, you'll only get one
yes.
syllable. And it talks about not correcting that, which was interesting. It was counterintuitive because I thought it was like, you know, she says ka and you go avocado, ka, avocado, ka. And you do that back at her. You do it too much and they start to get a little discouraged. They feel bad that they're getting it wrong.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting. I hadn't thought of that aspect of it. That maybe that you're. It's almost as if they're being made fun of for not being able to say the word. So it was, you know, you might do it once. You know, oh no, it's avocado, and then move on.
Well, she in her head thinks she's saying it correctly.
And she's obviously communicated it because we know that oh you want avocado.
I mean she says things that like if anyone else heard them they'd be like huh, like her word for bracelet.
Like yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or ga is glasses.
Yeah.
Like no one else would know what that is at all.
But the good reinforcement is, you know, that when they use the word, if she says ka and you bring out an avocado, that reinforces, okay, I know what that word means.
You're acknowledging that she has said the word.
Yeah, like the communication got through as opposed to like the interrogation of like, you're not saying it right. Say okay, this, don't say that.
Interesting.
So they respond better. And again, this is all about, same with the other one, is like they want to be in on the activity. And in that case, it's speech. Like the more they like, you know, there's a big reward for them when they get stuff right because everything is so hard for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
that's interesting.
Yeah. We'll keep going with ka for broccoli and also crab. It's the same word.
Ka.
Ka, I think it's crab as well.
Okay.
Puh is octopus. Yep.
Quiz me.
What are they?
Toast or toes?
Or tomatoes.
Oh, right.
One of those.
Ma?
That's you. Oh, no, ma is grandma.
Nope. Well, yes, but there's something
else. Cookie Monster.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just as long as we understand what she's saying, then we're winning and she'll eventually come around on
I think she will.
Well, I'm sure she will. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I thought I was doing her a favor by like trying to go like, "No, it's avocado." And like after a while they kind of get
I think you're okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel too guilty about that.
No, but it's a counterintuitive thing that kind of made me go, "Ooh, that's interesting." So that was just something I pulled out of the book.
Okay.
Anything else you saw interesting happen with her this week, or
it's always a blur when you're out of town.
Yeah, we should talk about that too. So we're now in. This was the third week. This was the third. The first one was shorter. So we had this is the third time I've been out of town.
Second.
Is it really? Yeah, I guess you're right. That was the second week.
You were gone for like 2 days and then 3 days.
And yeah, you're right. Because I'm thinking of my hotel reservations now. I was in that one place, and then last week we were in a different place, and now next week I'm going to a different hotel. It's whatever good rates we can get.
Okay.
So that's why we're moving around. So how did you feel this time coping with me being gone?
I anticipated like how it was going to go a little bit better. I think the first time I was a little bit more
like that. Can
you translate that?
Nope, I can't.
More nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we were fine. I think you left on a Tuesday and came back on a Thursday.
Yeah,
does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
So really, it was one
day. Monday, Wednesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, but either way, it was still just one day. Because I worked Monday and Wednesday, and I have Tuesday off from paying job work.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just one day of that. And those days are like the really long days. But it went fine. I honestly don't even remember what we did. I know that sounds terrible.
You and Celeste?
Yeah.
Didn't you go do something with
with Ryan? You guys went somewhere?
I usually see him.
That was Friday.
Once a week. I don't know that I saw him this Tuesday. I think that we might have gone to Huntington or.
I remember seeing some cute pictures of whatever you guys were up to.
I think that was Friday.
Was that Friday?
Yeah. Okay. I think that we saw him like a week ago. This is so interesting. I'm sure that everybody listening. Yeah,
this is riveting stuff. No, I'm.
But basically, it was fine. I mean, I don't remember what happened, but I remember she didn't have any middle of the night wake ups. She went to sleep pretty well. I don't think I had any moments where she was driving me crazy.
Yeah, because I still feel
handled it pretty well.
I still feel guilty being gone. Not that I, you know, feel guilty in the sense of like I shouldn't be gone. Like it's my job. I gotta go.
Yeah.
But
I know you want to be there and you want to be helpful.
Yeah, I just feel like it's, you know, it puts a lot on your shoulders to have her. You know, to make you the single parent for a few days at a time.
Well, you get to do it this weekend.
I'm going to keep doing it. Oh, that's true. I will, because you're going to be out of town. Woohoo! Party over here.
Party for mommy.
Yeah.
Mommy's going on a trip.
Yep.
Mommy's got some alone time with my girlfriends.
Yeah, enjoy it.
I'm excited. It came really fast.
Yeah. Well, you've been looking forward to that for a while. You just needed a chance to get away.
It'll be nice. It'll be a little road trip.
Sure. Maybe you'll win something.
Maybe.
So here's another thing that came up in the book that I was going to talk about. Body awareness.
Okay.
That now, this maybe this does dovetail back into this sitting thing, but like this is the age where they start doing more of the like pulling their own clothes off and running around naked. Like they start to become very aware of like that what their bodies are and how they work. And
I feel like that has happened this month. I feel like she's been pointing at her body parts for months and months
now. Well, the difference between, I guess, naming them. I mean, she's known what some of words for some of her body parts since before her first birthday. But it's the, like, oh, I don't feel like wearing these pants anymore. Off they go.
Oh,
you know, like,
okay.
That kind of stuff. Like, she's
so
just.
That's like more.
It's control over her body as opposed to being, you know.
Autonomy?
Talking about it. Yeah, it's a little more autonomy.
I think it's learning the word no.
Yeah, that's
a big one.
She's and the other thing.
I don't think that it's necessarily just related to body stuff.
Here's the thing they said about no, which is once she says it, you should probably go along with it for now. Because if you keep fighting her, what happens is the no gets more. She learns how to be more forceful about no. And so it becomes a bigger fight than if you just quickly kind of like, oh, okay.
I think that's what I read too, is that not in growing child, but in something else where don't fight over everything.
Yeah.
Like make a big deal to fight over like when she really like, if she makes a little mess, don't get big, like
freak
hugely
out about
upset
it.
About it until it's like. She spilled the glass where it's like that's a big deal. You don't want her to step into the glass. Like choose your battles, basically.
Yeah.
I think I said that already.
Well, I mean, same thing with like foods. Like if you're like, you really want the kid to eat some kind of a food, you're like, but they need to have a balanced meal. And the book's like, well, they'll eat different things from day to day. And yeah, they might have a lopsided meal on one day and then it balances, as long as it balances out over the course of like, you know, a week or two.
Yeah.
You're
I mean,
okay.
I try to offer things, but sometimes she's like, nope, I just want to eat fruit. It's like, all right, you're just going to have fruit for lunch. Like, I'm happy to just get any food in her sometimes.
Right.
So I just go with what works. Because I figure the next day it's going to be some other food item and it's going to be okay. It'll even out.
Yeah. And part of that is because you run the risk of, like, if they say no to it, that they don't like it today, then it becomes, like, a permanent thing that they'll never like. It's like, now if it's like, oh, as opposed to not liking green beans today, she'll never eat green beans again.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So... anyway, just some tidbits for us as parents of a 17-month-old.
Okay.
A precisely 17-month-old. So, what else you got, girl?
Do you want me to read our Facebook question?
Sure. We got a Facebook question. If you have a question, you can send it to bundleofoy@gmail.com, or you can go to our Facebook group for Bundle of Oy and post it there. So, who has written to us and what did they say?
All right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slow. hold on.
Who is our lucky
Have two questions from our listener, Tang Tui.
Oh, okay.
Tang Tui, last name D,
mm-hmm.
or K. I don't know which one she technically goes by. So would you like the parenting question first or the kind of funny-ish interesting question first?
Let's do the parenting question and save the funny one for last.
Okay. So the first one is, it's like a two-parter.
Okay.
It says, are your parenting duties evenly divided, gender inequality in parenting as a topic? And then the second part is, how did you know you wanted to have a kid? I guess we'll have to split that into two.
Okay.
So the first part, are your parenting duties evenly divided and gender inequality in parenting as a topic? Go.
I would say mostly, yes, they're equally divided. You know, in terms of like diapers and feeding her. And
I mean, you tend to do the bath. And the bedtime routine a little bit more frequently, but there must be something I do more of.
Well, you're watching her more during the day, so you get a lot more of that.
I guess you kind of make up for it more at night. I think that's why we started doing bath and bedtime, is so you'd get more time with her. Plus, my back hurts when I lean over to the bath.
Yeah, that was the main reason I did the bath more. And then I do the mornings, but that's just because I wake up early. But
you feel like you're not... you don't feel like you're... inequal, like you're doing
it doesn't feel lopsided. Okay,
because you do tend to wake up early, but you just tend to wake up earlier in general.
Right, I'm already awake, so there's no, like, I might as well just handle it. And it's also my time. I mean, I get more time to be with her, you know, mornings and nights, then I might as well take advantage of it, as opposed to like, because if I let you do that, then I wouldn't see her much at all.
I think that it's good that you took on a lot of responsibilities when she was really little and ongoing. Because now she has a good bond with you. And it's not like if she cries, she only comes to mommy. Or if she needs something, she only comes to mommy. If she comes to us equally, yeah. She like equally sees us as parents. So yeah. Either one of us can calm her down. Either one of us can understand if she gets mad or frustrated or cries. Like we can both read the cries. We both know how to solve the problem. I think like as parents, we make a pretty good team, not to toot our own horns. But I think I got really lucky. Or we got really lucky.
Well, I think it wasn't luck. I think when we knew we were going to have a baby, we sat down and we talked all about this, about, you know, what was expected of us as parents, what we expected of each other. And I think pretty early on, we knew, like, this has got to be a team effort, you know, all the way down.
I mean, I don't think that we would have gotten to the point of marriage had I not thought that we would have been equals. Like, I would never have married somebody who would not have brought his own weight.
Yeah. You mean pull their own weight. I brought my own weight.
I guess we both do both of those.
Yeah. No, I... yeah, you're
right. On the weight stuff.
Yeah. You don't want to be a deadbeat. You don't want to be, you know, you're not even a deadbeat, but like, you know, I don't think it's right by and large in society, it ends up being the woman's job to do more of these tasks, or they're seen as like, this is something women do. And for men to just go like, I earn money, so that exempts me from doing anything else. And I don't see it that way. It's, you know, one, the work you do with your kids is still valuable bonding. Just because it's not all like, you know, flying kites at the park or whatever and the fun stuff, like doing the hard part still forges this bond with your child. And so if you're not doing that, you won't get to reap the benefits of that later. So I would say that, yeah, any dad, like you've got to get in there and do this, because just like you said, when she needs something, she's just as equally likely to go to you or me, because she sees us as a source of help. You know, she sees
and comfort.
And comfort, yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being that guy who's around.
Yeah. It makes me sad, too, when I see stories of, you know, women who can only calm their baby down, or like the dad is watching the baby so the mom can go out and see her friends or whatever it is, and then the dad like freaks out and calls the mom back. So the mom doesn't get to go and have her alone time because the dad can't have it. Because
he's incapable, yeah.
But it's not... You're capable of doing it. Just suck it up and do it.
It's not hard.
It's not like women are born with this better ability to handle these things.
No, they put in the time.
We just make ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like you're not innately, by virtue of your double X chromosomes,
I might be slightly more, not you and me, but women in general, might be slightly more nurturing. I mean, there's got to be something with, like, I think that women bond easier with, like, little babies innately. And dads bond better, like...
But that could be millennia of cultural expectations. That could be so many things working on that. What I've seen is when I, you know, because I spend time with her, like, I have a bond with her. And, you know, we have a relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have the relationship I have with her if I wasn't spending the time changing her diaper, giving her a bath, you know, doing all of that, you know, feeding her. All of those, you know, the quote-unquote work of raising her as opposed to just running around and chasing her and
having fun. I think that you, because you put in the time to do all the work, quote-unquote stuff, you have the fun stuff too.
It makes it easier and better.
Yeah. I mean, you could do the fun, but I think it wouldn't be as fun if you didn't have all the other stuff, or she wouldn't feel as bonded to you if the only time you saw her was like an hour a night for play stuff.
Right, when she didn't need anything from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the need that she has. It's, you know, you are, when you take care of a person's needs, and this is true of adults, like, they become incredibly grateful. I'm like, oh, you actually, you stopped what you were doing and you took the time to help me when I was having a problem. Like, think of how that would feel if you know, the time you're on the side of the road with a flat tire and some stranger, like, comes and, you know, changes the tire for you, mm-hmm. and just help, just to be nice.
Yep.
Like, think of how you feel about that person. Like, that guy's a hero. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you want your kid to look at you that way. Like, this guy, oh my God, I had a diaper full of feces and this hero came along and changed it and made me clean and I'm happy.
Although she runs away from from you if you try to change her when she has poop diaper.
You catch her.
But I get your point.
You know, that's the point. So no. Anyway, yeah, I think it's divided pretty evenly except for a few little tasks that I tend to do more of and some that you tend to do more of. But
I think we just make a pretty equal team.
Yep. What was the next question?
The other one is, how did you know you wanted to have a kid?
Ooh. You go first. I'm thinking about this.
I think for me, I was always really worried that I was not going to have patience, or I was going to regret having a kid, or and that I was going to be frustrated and I, like, just wasn't going to like it. And this was, like, always...
And you were going to be stuck with it.
And I was going to be stuck with it, and I couldn't get out of it. But I think that my desire to try anyways overrode that. There was something in me that I knew that if I didn't try it, I would regret it for the rest of my life. So, I mean, I don't know that that answers the question, but I think that... I hate to say it, I mean, because it's not true for everybody, but I feel like it was just a part of me that I wanted to, like, as a woman... I felt like this was just my job. And I know that not all women have that, and that's fine. I'm just saying, for me, I felt like I've been born with these body parts that were meant to have a child.
Yeah, you were.
And there's always been, like, this nurturing side to me that I've wanted to express. And the only, like, way that I could, like, fully express it was with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was kind of excited just to see, like, what would it look like? What would it act like? Would I be good at this momming thing? Like, what would our child together be? Like, what would be the product of your personality and my personality? So, I don't know that that completely answers it, but it was just something I wanted to do.
Well, so far, you're pretty good at it.
Thank you.
And I think that's gratifying for me to see, because I was worried about that too, because you voiced a lot of those concerns, like, oh my God, this is going to be so much work, and I'm going to lose my mind, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to lose our freedom, and you know, just all those, like, natural fears were just, like, kind of coming through. And what I thought about it was, at the time, was just like, well, I guess that's true of every parent, and most of the parents you talk to say it's been a rewarding experience.
It's been worth it.
It's been worth it. So you go, okay, well then, you know, all the, you know, the sleepless nights and that stuff and the stress, if on balance it's good, then it should be okay.
Yeah. I mean, people have more than one of them too. You know that, right.
They went back for more.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know if there was a moment where I decided, like, yes, I'm going to be a parent. I think for a long time, I thought I would be one just because, well, this is expected. You know, this is what you do. You grow up, you get a job, you get married, you have kids. Like, that's the plan. That's how the board is laid out on the game of life. Like, that's what you do. And then I got a little older and I got to a point where I started thinking about, like, well, this is something I actually want as opposed to something that is expected of me. And part of me could think of like reasons why, like, oh yeah, I mean, it's easy to play the selfish game and go like, you know what, if I never got married and I never had kids and it was all about me, 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 I could have so much fun and without all these obligations or commitments. And that is true if you want to be Peter Pan and never grow up. Because the answer is there are different and rewarding things that are unlocked when you decide to go the other path and say, no, I'm going to commit myself to a person in marriage and, you know, put in the time and effort that takes. And I think part of it, I wasn't 100%, not that I did, I was pretty sure I wanted kids and I wouldn't have married you if it was off the table for you. Mm. Although I did think about that of like, what if I met someone who didn't want to have kids? Would I be okay staying with this person?
What if I ended up being infertile and I couldn't have kids?
Well, by then I certainly wouldn't have backed out and said, okay, Sorry. We would have adopted or done something else.
Yeah.
But I think it was really sort of getting into that and like finding these levels of mature adulthood in myself and recognizing like, oh, okay. Yes, I in getting married, I gave up the pleasures of being single and not having to give a crap about another person. But in exchange, I got a partner. I got depth. I got, other things that I couldn't have had before. And because that worked out okay, when it came time to start talking about having kids, I didn't need to hesitate. Once we decided, yes, we're going to start trying to have kids, I was like, okay, we're doing it.
Yep.
I wasn't worried about it at all because I knew I had somebody that when we made a kid, we would be together, be able to handle it and make it work. And so far, knock on wood, it's been good.
Yep.
So that's how I knew. And I think Tank Tweet had another question, right?
She did have another question.
Okay. Let's make sure we cover all of Tank Tweet's bases because she does have a reward coming to her.
Yes. And let me open it up. Okay, so question number 2. Do you have any idea what this is?
You said it before, I thought, or no?
I don't know that I did. Okay. Oh. Wait. So Freddy Krueger was also a parent. This goes back to our last episode. If you've not listened, please go back.
Was he a parent?
Wait, it says, wait, so Freddy Krueger was also a parent? I'd like to see that tied more into your next episode. Go into the existential aspect of that.
Wow. Okay. Well, first of all, he's not much of a parent because he's really just a sperm donor, I think. He's not, he didn't hang around and raise this kid.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. So he, and I looked it up, but I forgot already. He is the product of rape. I think that
yes.
A serial killer raped a nun.
No, a million. He's the son of 1,000 maniacs, right? This nun was.
A bunch of serial killers raped a nun.
Right.
So he could have been
sired by any one of them.
Okay. And then so she had the kid. She had Freddy.
Right.
And I don't really remember what happened to him after that. But how did he have a child? Did he rape somebody too?
No. I think in the flashback they have a house. Like there's like a kid and a wife or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they like, you can see that's when they like he like gets arrested for whatever it is he was doing
so
to the other
becomes,
kids.
He's probably genetically the product of one of the other bad people who raped the nun. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's the product of multiple...
He can only be technically the product of
one. I know, but yeah. Theoretically, if he's the product of a million crazies and mm-hmm. a nun, one of those million crazies must have been a child pedophile. Because, right, isn't that what he did? He took kids into the basement and...
It's not clear that that's what he did to him.
Yes, it is.
I know he did something bad to the kids. I don't know if it was sexual or violent or both.
Okay. I'm pretty sure it was sexual, but please correct me if I'm wrong. send it to us at bundleofvoy@gmail.com. Yeah, please. With your historical...
With your Freddy Krueger Wikipedia citation.
But yeah, so he did bad things to kids.
Then the parents kill. He got off
on a technicality.
And then the parents kill
him. And then the parents take over and kill him. And then he somehow rises.
Well, or appears in dreams from there on out.
And so, and his kid, I don't know what happened to his kid at this point.
She goes into like the system or something. And then,
she does go into
the system. Yeah, and she doesn't remember him. And like in the sixth one or something, that's when she...
And
that's
when she appears. Takes and kills him somehow.
I think so.
So him as parent. So it's, I guess.
There's no evidence that he did anything to his own kid. So.
I think he did.
Did he? I thought.
I think that was in one of the flashbacks in like a bathroom. Like, wasn't he abusive? I don't think he was sexually abusive.
I don't know. Those flashbacks are like 2 seconds each.
I know. It's so bad. So him as parent, what was the other part?
And by the way, this has to be based solely on our knowledge of Nightmare on Elm Street 6, Freddy's Dead.
So
one of the weaker entries in the series.
I guess him as parent. Was he taking out things on kids because of his heritage?
Oh, is it nature versus nurture? We don't know much about. We only saw like one flashback of like him as a school age kid. And they all make fun of him because as they all son of a thousand maniacs, like they all like tease him.
Okay.
I think that's all you see. So you don't. There's not a whole lot to go on here, as far as like the why.
We need more of an origin story.
Yeah, I'm sure someone at New Line Cinema is working on that. I think they actually were talking about a new, yet another reboot.
Oh, I like that. Yep. I love those movies. What am I missing in this question? Existential aspect of him being a parent.
The fact that he tortures children in their dreams. That's what he does. I mean, he basically teenagers. Him being
a parent. I mean, I guess he's just mentally. He's got mental issues. I would think like.
But that's mostly just a revenge. That at least in the first one, it was I'm getting revenge on the actual parents who murdered me.
Yeah, but
so it's a little more of a logical motive.
But though. For him, he did something to deserve it.
He did, but it's still like lashing out directly at those people as opposed to like four movies in where it's like he doesn't know these randos. Why is he bothering to like...
Well, eventually,
I guess it's just because it's fun for him. And he gets to make up hilarious puns as he kills them, which is the delight of any movie villain, I think.
I guess my question is if you're a parent, are you less likely to inflict harm on other people's children?
Unfortunately, I don't think there's necessarily...
There's not a connection there.
No. My thought of the question is, would you do to him what those parents did to him if someone hurt Celeste?
Take...
Would you vigilante it up and like lock a person in a boiler room and burn him?
No. I mean, I'm pretty black and white, and I don't like getting in trouble.
Yeah. You would go to prison for that, for sure.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, well, I guess they got away with it because no one knew it was them. But, the bigger thought there, too.
I mean, that's also that movie, Time to Kill?
Well, that's jury nullification, where it's literally like, yeah, he shot her, or he shot those people, but they had it coming, so therefore it's okay.
I mean, the premise of that movie is that Samuel L. Jackson has a daughter that's raped, and he goes and kills the person who raped it, or
yeah, she's raped or killed. I can't remember, but
she's raped.
He murders he murders her attackers.
Murders or hurts or something.
Murders. I think he murders them. And then that's his criminal trial. He like murders them in like broad daylight in front of a million people. Like there's no way
he goes into the courthouse. But I feel like the guys that did it are alive during the trial.
Maybe one of them survives. Maybe one but he's of on them. Trial for murder. There's no question.
But he gets, spoiler alert, turn it off if you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
He gets nullified, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. By the jury. Matthew McConaughey argues for jury nullification and he gets it. Just highly technically improper. It's like basically saying, yes, this person is, the prosecution has clearly proved their case, but just let this one slide anyway. Like, yep. You can't do that. Because vigilantism is a very, very bad. It's always good. Vigilanteism always works in the movies, says the guy wearing a Batman t-shirt. Like, it, because in the movies, there's never any reasonable doubt. It's always like, oh no, we're 100% sure this is the bad guy, therefore it's okay. Like, I'm waiting to see, like, the Batman movie where he beats a guy to within an inch of his life, and it turns out he was wrong, and it was like, oh no, it was the wrong guy.
I'd like to see the Law & Order Batman episode.
The Law & Order Batman episode. Dunk, dunk. I just want to see the parade of, like, other witnesses when they bring in, like, you know, the Penguin to testify.
I feel like you should write the script for that.
That's Law & Order Batman crossover?
Yeah.
Now, is it like the, like, Adam West Batman, so it's super campy, or like Christopher Nolan-y or Tim Burton? Like, which Batman are we getting here?
I guess you could write it however you want.
Ooh, okay. I'm going animated series then. I think that's my favorite.
Okay. So, in a Law & Order episode with actual actors and just Batman as animated?
The real shame is that Jerry Orbach is dead, which makes this just...
I was going to say, because Jerry Orbach talking to an animated Batman on trial sounds kind of funny to me.
I would pay good money to see that. Jerry Orbach can do whatever he wants. Well, could.
So, shoot. What's the guy's name that's always on the end of Law & Order episodes?
Dick Wolf?
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say Dick Wolf.
If you're listening,
we've got some content for you.
Yes.
Make it happen.
I think that could work. Yeah, Batman, I guess Batman does show up to court sometimes to testify. Because I think they've explored that idea too, which is like, well, all these people are going to get away because the person who caught them is not going to show up and testify. And therefore, like, when it comes to trial, there's no evidence against them.
Okay.
But I think actually they've had plenty of scenes where, like, Batman or Superman will show up to court and
testify. What do you
testify.
Mean, plenty of scenes? Like, where?
In the comics.
Okay. I've never seen an episode.
They've never done it in the movies where they have, like, yeah, like, Batman shows up to court.
Okay. Because,
yeah, good luck getting him to do that. What else do we got to talk about? Oh, our parenting fail and proud moments. You got one?
Which one?
I guess we start with the parenting fail.
Parenting fail. I was going to take another twist on this for the parenting fail, and I was going to say my own proud moment.
Okay.
Because I couldn't think of a parenting fail, and just the fact that I did do fine on my own this week.
Oh, okay. You're proud of yourself.
Yeah, I wasn't gone all week or anything. I mean, you weren't gone all week, but you were gone enough, and I just wanted to pat myself on the back for not freaking out and handling it, and I got this.
Well, good, because you got probably two more of those to go, at least.
Two more weeks, yeah. This one will be a short week, but the week after will be longer.
Yeah, that's when it's
I was thinking of maybe this is so terrible, enlisting your mom and having, like, a grandma sleep overnight. Oh. Just to give myself a tiny bit of a break.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Oh, we'll see what happens.
You know, you don't get too many nights off with, like, me and the baby.
Or maybe I'll stay at your mom's house, too.
Whatever, you can crash there.
So, yeah, that's my parenting fail. I couldn't think of one that was, like, a major enough of a fail.
Mine was pretty minor, too.
Okay.
When we were at the pool, I put the she's this, like, towel that kind of has, like, a hood at one end. So I put the hood on her head, and she was walking around with it. And by the time we got to the car, it was super dirty on the bottom.
Oh.
And I didn't think of that.
Oh, well.
So that's a pretty minor fail.
It's not a big deal. I thought you were going to say she, like, tripped on her or something.
Nope, she drowned. I brought home a kid that looks just like her.
Oh, that's
no. Okay, it's not true.
Okay.
Proud moment. I couldn't think of a specific one either. I was struggling
with
this.
Heartbreaking.
Part of it was that it was gone for part of the week, so I didn't have proud moments to see. And then too, like, yeah, like, you're. I was trying to think of something because you're a good parent. Like, that's the baseline. So it was hard to think of, like, a single moment where I had to step back and go, like, oh man, she handled that. That was awesome. So,
my proud moment was going to be a thank you. So it wasn't necessarily a moment either, but I was going to say thank you for taking her to the pool on Saturday so I could get my exercise in.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm proud of you for doing the exercise.
Thank you.
So, we don't have much else to cover, but I do have to do a limerick.
Yes. So our friend Tang Tui, who we mentioned previously, has said that she has submitted a review for iTunes. We have not seen it. Hopefully it's not a terrible review. Otherwise, we are going to write a negative limerick about you next time.
But on the honor system, we're assuming it's nice, and she did submit it. So
I have not heard this yet.
Okay.
So let's go. All right. Here's this.
I once knew a girl named Tang Tui. A more unique name could not be. But when I discover that there is another, I'll call them Tang 1 and Tang Tui.
You know what's funny? I have a response to that.
You have a response to that? Okay.
One of the ladies who works at my nail salon, her name is Tang Tui.
That's why I thought of a second Tang 3.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So, yeah, I was stunned to see that there was.
I thought you were going to go with Tang 3.
Was going to be three. part of the lyric. I was going to say, what does Tang Tui mean again?
Greenish water? Greenish blue water? Something like that.
Okay, interesting. It's Vietnamese, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that covers this episode of Bundle of Oi. If you want to send in questions about parenting,
Freddy Krueger
or any other random topic that you just want.
Michael Myers.
We'll talk about anything.
We can talk about any horror.
80s thing. I've got such a
villain,
raging.
I was thinking, not superheroes, like villain.
Oh. I was just going to say what a like raging hard-on I have for Stranger Things coming back. I'm super excited. Speaking of just 80s horror stuff.
Somewhat excited. Not as excited as you.
So good.
Maybe we'll have to rewatch it.
Oh, I think we should watch
it one more time before it comes back.
I think so. It's only 8 episodes, but man, I'm looking forward to that. So anyway, after that plug, if you're interested in us, send all those feedback questions to bundleofoi@gmail.com or go to our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/bundleofoi.
If you also want to leave us another iTunes review, we will continue to write limericks for you.
That's right. As many as it takes. So
as many as it takes for what? to get a review.
To rhyme A, B,
I just think this is a fun segment. The limerick segment. So
I like
you can only
too.
Get a limerick if you write a review on iTunes.
That's right. Even if it's negative, we'll write a review. Or a limerick. It's just
if we know you. Otherwise, I guess we'll just have to make it up about their name.
I think we'll have to just stick with their name and whatever minimal information we can cobble together.
All right.
And that's, I think that'll do it for this episode. So until next time, when we have a regular sign off. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye.
Bye.